We're thankful you had a birthday, brother. God delivered. Yes, praise God. God delivered you, man. Praise God. I won't make you come. Has anybody else had a birthday? Last week? You didn't tell us. I won't make y'all get up. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. Well, I know I quit doing that, but it seems like things just kind of track back. I don't know. It don't matter. Praise the Lord. What's that? It ain't hurting nothing. You're probably right. Well, praise the Lord. I hope y'all have been thankful this week. Did you know we talked about being thankful last week? I hope you've been thankful. I've been making a real effort to be thankful every day, and it changes everything. It changes everything. You don't get upset in traffic. You don't get upset about things you shouldn't get upset about. You're just thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. So I had some good scripture this morning about the joy of the Lord and about laughter and joy, and I thought, you know, there's a scripture that says God laughs. God laughs at the plans of the enemy against Israel. God laughs at the plans of the enemy against his people. It said, behold, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and he laughed. You know, he laughed at the plans of the enemy against your life. But if you, where's Dan? I was going to ask him. Okay. I can't ask him. So that's what I was going to preach about this morning. But as we were worshiping, sometimes when you're in worship, things change real quick, and that's okay. But I looked up there at that arch, and it made me think, you know. Made me think about doors. It made me think about doors and entranceways and things, because that's what that arch represents. It's a door. And I thought about, my generation was deceived by a lot of things, but the biggest thing that influenced my generation was music and society and the free love and free, you know, all that movement that was going on, and it spilled over and it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And what was once perversion is now accepted as life in America. And my generation had a lot to do with that. But I remember there was one song. Most of y'all probably didn't listen to Led Zeppelin and stuff like that, and Iron Butterfly and all the heavy groups of the day. That's what I listened to. Three Dog Night. They weren't heavy, but I liked them, you know. But there was a song, and probably one of the anthems of that whole generation was Stairway to Heaven. And I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's got a beautiful lead-in and a long, I mean, it's a beautifully written song. It's not a bad song. But if you look at the words of it, it says in one part, it says, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. And that's the biggest lie and it was ever told to a generation, that you can go the way you want to go, you can live the way you want to live, but there's time to change. And I was told by several people this morning, and I looked online and saw it at about 7:20, 7:30 this morning. There was a BMW going from, I guess they were going from Palmyra to here, or either, I don't know which way were they going, you know? They were going east, they were going that way. And I would say they were probably going at a high rate of speed, because it was a BMW and it evidently just cut this car in half. And it was fatality, and I don't know how many people were involved, but it's bad. So, talking about doorways, you know, this person, I don't know, they might have been Christians, they may not have been Christians, but they went from life and they stepped into death. And they can't take it back. Yes, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in laying on of hands of people that are sick. I know that to be true. But this morning that didn't happen. This person went from what? They were alive. They were having, I don't know, I'd have fun if I was going well over 100 miles an hour. That's fun. But they went from there and they went into death, eternity. They stepped from now into eternity. They stepped from life. Either they stepped from life into death or they stepped from life into life. If they knew Jesus, they just changed. They just changed. But if they didn't know Jesus, they stepped into the judgment. And that's something we don't take too serious. You know, I know as believers we do, but most people don't even. Man, when you wake up in the morning, I never thought, man, what if I die today? I never even. Some people worry like that, but when I was a heathen, I never thought about it. When we was out drunk on the motorcycle going, splitting lanes up to Watterson, 120 miles an hour, just out of our minds, just, whoa, screaming. If I had to stop at a stoplight and put my feet down, there was a chance I couldn't hold my bike up. I mean, that's what I'm talking. No worry whatsoever about stepping into eternity. But if we had, we would have stepped from life into hell, life into judgment. And I don't know why I'm telling you this morning, but there's a whole lot of folks that haven't made that decision. And I was just thinking, I don't know how many of y'all was brought up in the ways of the Lord. How many of y'all was brought up in some kind of Christian background? You went to church or something. You heard the gospel somewhere. Anybody? I did too, man, and I was a good kid. And I was just thinking about that. I heard all the Bible stories. I believed the Bible stories. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I believed that Jesus rose again. I believed all of that. I even prayed a prayer when I was 15 years old. But you know what? I opened things in my life. You know, the Bible says, there's two roads, right? There's a road to what? Life. There's a road to heaven. There's a road to hell. And it says the road to heaven is narrow. Like narrow. And it says very, very, very few will enter into that. What's few to you? I don't know. To me, a few would be 6-7 people out of this room. That probably, you know, that's a few to me. But Jesus knew exactly what a few was. And so, there's two roads. But there's not time to change the path you're on. That's a lie. That's a lie. Nobody knows their last day. But I was thinking this morning, I thought, I was a good boy. You know, I can say that. I'm not saying that with pride. I was a good boy. If I heard somebody say the S word, S-H-I, you know, if I heard somebody, there was a time when that would have offended me. And I know that's hard to wrap your mind around now because F word's just blah, 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 blah. It's just, but I had a sensitive spirit. I had a sensitive spirit. And when somebody said something bad about God, it just kind of, I won't say I rose up and defended him, but it just, I had a sensitive spirit. And I think we all do when we're children. Now it might go back to the womb. I don't know, but I mean, a sensitive spirit. And I thought, the doorways I went through, because I can clearly remember the first time I said a curse word. It was like, I went through this door. It hurt my spirit, but I went through it again. Does that make sense? And I went through it again, and the words got more easier and without that that conscience. That, and I know that sounds so light, but then I remember my mom and dad both smoked. 90% of the people in America smoked back then. You know, that wasn't really, I mean, not 90%, but, and I remember one day I got one of my mom or dad's cigarettes and I took it and I lit it up, and I tried it, and I coughed, and I choked, and but you know what? I it opened a door. It opened a door of addiction in my life. My mom's side of the family, they were alcoholics. My mom wasn't, and out of six, four of them were alcoholics. So I had that predisposition to be addicted, you know. So, man, I got started on cigarettes. Of course, I didn't do that in front of my mom and dad, but I would sneak around and, you know, all that. I never did it to look cool. I just got addicted to it. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can understand that or not, but I got really addicted to it. And I really liked it. And then I found some, then I was back in our woods. We had a woods between us and Rockford Lane. It was just a little bitty woods, but to us it was like the whole world, you know, because that was a place you could go and build forts and do guy stuff, you know. There's nothing wrong with what we was doing, but, you know, these teenagers would go back there and we started finding these, I think it was True Detective or True Story or something, but they were racy, you know. They might have some cleavage, or I'm not offending any of y'all, you know that. But just something light. It's like, whoa, this is really, it gets you, get your hormones working. And you see a Playboy. Whoa! Now that was like, whoa. I'm not trying to offend anybody here, because Playboy is like, Playboy would be like Alice and Jerry books now. I mean, right, nothing. But it stirs a young man's heart to evil. It stirs a young man's heart, starts thinking about these things, and then you do things to fulfill the feelings. You know what I'm saying? You start getting into this spirit of lust. And you started out as an innocent little guy, and you accidentally found some material you shouldn't have looked, and you went, you're through the door, and you're hooked on pornography. You're hooked on cigarettes now. You're hooked on pornography. And Halloween night, our wonderful high school had a dance, a Halloween dance. So I didn't dance. I wouldn't have done. You see me yesterday. I don't dance. I don't do that. I'm not against it. I just don't dance. But I remember that night, some boys, I run into some boys back in the woods or something. They said, hey, you want to go to the Halloween dance? I'm like, nah. Oh, come on. All right. Well, let's go over to Magic Food Market and we'll get somebody to buy us some beer. I'm like, beer? I never even seen that around my house, you know. So I said, okay. I don't know why I said okay. But they went and bought, I think they bought 3 6-packs of Colt 45 malt liquor, which, if you could drink that stuff, I mean, but they're the big boys. What they call them, tall boys. I'm not talking about them little country clubs. I'm talking about them big boys. And so I said, here, you know, it's cold, and I'm like, whoa, that's bad. So I held my nose, and I drank. I got about 2 or 3 of them down. Guess what? I was drunk. And guess what else? I was addicted. You know, I went there and I danced like a fool. Boy, did it open some doors for me. And every chance I got after that as a 15, 16-year-old young man, every chance I got after that, I would get drunk. Because it made me feel alive. It made me feel like I was invincible. You know what? You know, guys, it made me feel something I never felt before. And if I couldn't listen, if I couldn't get it, my mom and dad, they didn't know all this was going on. Believe it or not, mom and dad, you can be fooled. My mom and dad, my mama would be sitting on the couch waiting for me to come in. She would always wake up too. And she'd come over and talk to me. She'd get right up in my face and talk to me. I advise you do that, parents. But anyway, these doors were open. And I was literally a drunk. If I could not get somebody to, I couldn't go in and buy it. If I couldn't get somebody to go in and buy it for me, I remember one night I had to have something to drink so bad, I went and bought, Robitussin? I bought about 5 or 6 bottles of that cough syrup and drank it because it had alcohol in it. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. And it all started out in an innocent, I went through the door. And guess what? Once you go through the door, you got problems. You can't just go, okay, I quit. I mean, you can. You got willpower, but you can never close that door. You can't do it. And I could tell you a lot of doors that I opened in my life. There's no point in that. But you know what I'm saying. When you go through that door of sin, it always leads to more sin, and that always leads to bondage. And when you do that, there's a point where you get where it's like, man, I want to quit. You know, it's finally like, I've had enough of this. I'm sick. I don't feel good. This don't feel good anymore. And so it's like, whoa, how'd I get out of this? Now, I know pot, they sell it legally now. But I can remember a day when it would send you right to jail, a joint. And so there was no, as far as pot in Louisville, there might have been some in the ghetto, but there wasn't any around where I lived. And this old guy got out of Vietnam and lived next door to one of my friends. He was growing these plants behind his house and just flop potted plants. We didn't know what they were, but one of my friends was older, and he knew what they were. He said, we need to go and rip them off, man. So he waited for them to get kind of big and ripped them off and cured them in the oven on low, you know. Didn't have a clue. Didn't know how to roll a joint, so he took cigarettes and rolled the tobacco out and then sprinkled the, you know. Boy, that was really. Smoked the joint the first time, nothing happened. They said, well, you got to do it more. Smoked it again, yeah. And that kind of sort of cured part of my alcohol problem because now I had traded one addiction for another. And praise God they didn't have the drugs they've got now running around on the street, or I might be, who knows. But all I can say is that was a door. Everybody says, what do they call pot now? They call it a gateway drug. Some people, but it is. Because that opened my mind to think, it's okay. It's okay. And media will tell you, it's okay. The government will tell you now, it's okay. It's okay, it's legal now. It's not okay. It distorts your mind. It makes you lazy. It makes you all kinds of things you don't want. But the point is, it was a door. And when I came to the point where I wanted to, you know, I don't know about y'all, my life wasn't screwed up and bad, and I wasn't dreading my life when I came to Jesus. Donna and I just got married. We hadn't been married too long. I was happy as I could be. I loved Donna with all my heart, soul, mind, and child. Loved her. There was no problems whatsoever in our marriage. My work was good. We made decent money. You know, everything was okay. But I got put on a truck with a guy. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I got put on a truck with a guy, and he was a Christian. God moved me away from this crew I was in, the line crew called the Animals. He moved me out of there, and he put me in a crew that was at where all the district heads were, which you couldn't, you know, was like, oh, I was so mad. I was so mad. So I get put in this other crew, and then I get put on a truck with a guy, and I always thought he was a Mormon. Because he didn't drink, he didn't cuss, he didn't drink coffee, and I didn't know any Christians like that. That's sad, but I didn't. In fact, I didn't know there was another Christian at the whole phone company. You're exaggerating. No, I'm not. I had nobody witness to me. But if they did, I probably would have made fun of them. So, anyway, I got put on this truck, and this boy, I know he was praying for me, and I was I would leave pornography on the seat to tempt it. You know, it was a war between good and evil. It was a war between right and wrong, and he would leave these books laying on there. I remember the Hal Lindsey book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I remember I looked at that and I thought, what is this? So while he was up in the bucket working and I was driving the truck, I would just started looking through it and I went, man, this stuff's really happening. Is this in the Bible? Then I started looking at the Bible some, and I started comparing the Bible to the newspaper, and I started looking. I thought, I didn't know Jesus was coming back. You know, I didn't know any of that. And it intrigued me. So it's really, it's kind of funny because I can't tell you the exact day I came in, and I know some people say if you can't do that, then you're not saved. But I know that I came, I don't know if I went, because I prayed a prayer when I was 15. I don't know if I went back through that door or I went through that door the first time. But I knew the door was there, and I knew the door was wide open, and I knew that I had to make a choice. Whether Donna made a choice or not, I knew I had to make a choice. And so one day I decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. And you know what? I did it with knowing the cost. I knew when I fell away from him, I was so bold and arrogant, I said, God, I remember the last time I prayed to him. I hear heathens all the time say, I pray every day. I'm like, whoa, you're exceptional. I don't. No, I don't mean that, but I pray every day. I'm like, really? Man, that's weird. Because I can remember the last known prayer I prayed to him, except, Lord, get me home. Please keep me from dying tonight. The last prayer I prayed to him was, God, you know what? I love you. But you know what? I want to go out and do my own thing. I want to go out in the world. I want to be my own. I want to do. I got a lot to do. There's a lot out there, and you don't allow it. So guess what? I said, I'll be back someday. Boy, was that arrogant or what? I'll be back someday. So my thoughts of being back someday was 80 years old, wore out and ready to die. That was my picture of back someday. And so I came back, or I came there for the first time. But I knew the cost. You know what he wanted from me? Everything. Jesus didn't come to me to take my sins away. He took my sins so he could have me. His purpose was not to take my sins. His purpose was to own me and to have me and to love me and me to serve him. That was the reason Jesus came. Yeah, he took my sins. He washed my sins away. He didn't want my sins. What's he need with sins? He don't need them. So that day, like I say, I couldn't lay it out. He came into my life. And then I'm like, man, I need to do this, man. I need to make a proclamation. And so this buddy on the truck with me said, hey, man, we're having a Starlight Crusade, our church and two or three other churches. It was he went to Ninth and Old Baptist, and there was Carlisle Baptist. There was three or four Baptist churches. And they rented out the amphitheater at Iroquois Park, if you know where that is. And they call it a Starlight Crusade. And they had some really cool evangelist speaking. And I went one night, and I thought, this is really cool. And I told Jimmy, I said, tomorrow night, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to make this public. I'm going to go up and walk in front of all these, probably 1,000 people. I'm going to walk in front of all these people, and I'm going to make this public. I'm going to let everybody know that I'm real. And guess what? It was youth night. And all these teenagers and little preteen kids come up to the altar, and there's Mark standing there with all these kids because I said, I'm going to do it tonight, God. And it was humbling. But you know what? I won't say I haven't slipped. I won't say I haven't sinned. I won't tell you that I haven't disobeyed God. I'd be lying to you. But I'll tell you what, ever since I went back through that door, I knew I was never going back. I knew when I went through this door, I knew that I was going to serve Him the rest of my life. Even if there's a detour. And listen, there used to be an Amy Grant song. And I can't even remember the song or how it goes, but it says, when you come to Jesus, don't expect the world to be applauding you and loving you. What was that song? I have decided to live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to live what I believe. And they're not going to love you at school. Listen, they're not going to love you when you go in there talking about Jesus. They're not going to love you when you go in there with a Bible. You're not going to love you when you say, no, I can't go to that party because Jesus wouldn't want me there. Oh, but I can be a witness at that party. Shut up. You're too weak. No, you can't be a witness. You'll get sucked in. You'll be drunk or worse. But Jesus has opened, He's opened a door. What's it say? Open a door that no man can close. No man can, the only one that can close that door is you. You slam the door in His face and say, no, I'm not coming in. But it was all, like I say, we're gonna do a little march again. We're going to keep doing that till we get joy and we get shouting and we get laughter. We're going to do that. But this morning, I just believe God really wanted to speak this to you, that there's these, especially, I won't say as young people, I'm talking about people. Because let's face it, men, I don't know women what you're tempted with as much as men, but men, I know if you got a phone or you got a computer, you carry around a door. Everywhere you go, you got a door, and you can open that door, and you can climb right in there. You can open yourself to pornography. You can open yourself to relationships. You can do all kinds of things with it. You can do good with this thing. But you can't walk through those doors that the enemy, he's got traps set for you. He wants to trap you. He wants to cage you. He wants to kill you. So just, we're going to do a joyful march. But we're going to do it with joy. So listen, if you've walked through those doors as an unbeliever or as a believer, if you've walked through those doors and you need to close some doors and you need to walk through the door, because He is the door. Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to enter into heaven. So He's a big door. But if you're away from God right now, if you've got sin in your life, if you've got addictions in your life, if you've got things, you'll get so far, you'll be doing so good for Jesus, and then all of a sudden you're right in the middle of some sin. It's like, well, how did this happen? You ever had it happen? It's like, how did I get here? You went through a door. You haven't closed every door that you opened when you was a heathen. You need to close these doors. And the first step is to open the door to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I need you, Lord. Jesus, I need you to fill me, Lord. Jesus, I need to get my feet back on the solid ground. If that's you, just come up here right now. If you need to get yourself straight with Jesus, come up here right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Maybe this isn't for y'all. Maybe this is for your friends. Maybe this is for your people at work. But Jesus wants you to come through that door and stay in the safety of His presence. See, when you go in this door, it says what? He said He came to give you life and life abundantly, right? He came to give you abundant. When you go through that door and fellowship with Him, He'll fellowship with you. Lord Jesus, God, I just thank You. I thank You for being the living door. I thank You for being the way. I thank You for being the truth. I thank You for being the life. I thank You, Jesus, for every testimony here. God, there's testimonies much more appealing and bizarre even than what I've said here this morning. I kept it light, but God, I know there's people that's been snatched out of drug addiction. Amen. Yes. There's been people snatched out of jail and prison. God, amen, Jesus. There's been people given a new chance, people that's given their life back, people that's been resurrected from the dead, God, people, Lord, that have been healed of diseases. God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your praise, God. Lord, we thank you for a second chance. Thank you for a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance, God. You have been so good. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And somebody's being lied to right now. Oh, no, you've tried it before, son. You just can't make it. Just going to have to wait till you get a little bit older and you get wore out and tired of sin. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's a decision. You know what? It's a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though others won't go, still I will follow. Though others won't go, still I will follow. Though others won't go, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Jesus. I just pray for you. You're addicted to music right now. That turns your head away from Jesus. I bless you. I bless you. All my jukebox heroes are dying left and right, man. They're dying left and right, man. They are dying. Greg Allman's dead. Jim Morrison's dead. Janis Joplin's dead. You can go on and on and on and on and on. And Alice Cooper's alive. Alice Cooper's teaching Sunday school. Alice Cooper's saved. Whoa, how about that? Well, she hadn't waited so long. But praise God. And the corn people, I can't even think of their names, but the people that's been on the hard side of the cult know. They know the truth, and they're coming back. They're coming to the light, so praise God. I don't know who this was for, if anybody, but maybe it'll encourage you to be bold. Maybe it'll encourage you to go after the ones that went through the door, and they don't know how to get out. You know, they're wandering around. They're blind as a bat. They're blind as a bat. Did you know that? Come on. Come on. I'll say one more thing, and I'll shut up, and then we'll march. And I want to hear some stomping. Praise God for the march, for the march, for the march. Blind as a bat. I can think of a story in the Bible where they were blind as a bat. Only bats got senses and they know where to go. They were blinder than a bat. These two dudes come into the city, angels. Wanted to save Lot and his family from a bunch of perverse heathens, right? He said, they were going to sleep in the square. He said, no, 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 no. No, that's like sleeping in, what's a good example in Louisville? That's like ghetto. Ghetto, that's good enough. We don't want to get specific. There's places you just wouldn't bed down and sleep probably unless God ordered you to. Russell neighborhood. But anyway, He said, no. Come into the safety of my house. And what they do? Open up. So we can know these men. What's know? We want to have relations with these men. These are men wanting men, right? No, don't be so evil, my brothers. Here, take my, was it concubine or his daughters? Virgin daughters. There was another story where it was a concubine, but yes, take my daughters. We don't want your daughters. Who are you to tell us how to live? Give us those men. Now, how could that happen? Same way you could get married in America if you're a sodomite. So, the angels blinded them. They struck them totally blind. They could not see anything. And you know what they did? They went back to their houses and hoped they could repent it and God would heal them. What'd they do? They said, they just kept knocking on the door and trying to get in there to have their way with these men sexually. Now think about how messed up you got to be. You've been struck blind and you still want to go after the sin. It's a reprobate mind. And when you walk through the right doors, you'll be turned over to it. Don't allow yourself to be turned over to a reprobate mind, because it'll never stop where you entered in. You'll always go deeper and further than you ever thought you could go. But praise God, there's a way out. So if you need to talk to Jesus while we're marching, I don't care how you do. You don't need to come do it in front of us if you don't want to, but come to Jesus and say, God, I need a reprieve, God. I can't do this, God. There's this sin, and the Bible calls it a besetting sin, and every time I try to do right, I fall. I've been there. But the difference is there's two kinds of people. People that fall and wallow in their sin and wallow in their weaknesses, and there's people that get back up. You got to be one of them that gets back up. Jesus will dust you off and put his arm around you and say, come on, boy, you can go another mile. Come on with me, man, you can make it. And the devil go, that's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Just walk the way you want to. Yeah, I got you. I got your back. Who was that? I can't remember. There used to be a Christian rock group. I don't even remember who it was, but it said, the devil is a liar, liar, liar. Who was that? Allies, yes. Okay, in Jesus' name. Is that same CD in there that was in there this morning, Dan? Is it? Put the one in there that says Four Winds on it. If it's not in there, it was in there this morning. Hail, hail, line of Judah. How wonderful you are. We could do that, but I can't remember all the words. The first one, just let it play. I want you to sing along with this, and then we're going to start marching. But I want you to agree with what this guy is saying, okay? You can agree with Don Potter. He's a righteous man, right? I want you to sing. Stand up. Get your vocal going. Do, 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 do. Come on. I can't sing. Shut up. Do, 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 do. Everybody can sing. Some better than others. Don't matter. Everybody say, I can sing. I can sing. I can dance. I can march. Yes. I think I can dance. Yes, I think I can dance. Yes, I think I can sing. Yes, I know I can sing. Yeah, you can sing. Look at me dance. Whoa! Crank it. I mean crank it. I want y'all to sing along with me. I was louder than that yesterday. Come on. There it is. Sing along. You'll get it. It's easy. Clap your hands. Come on.
to me. Reach down from your heavenly home. Touch us with your mighty hand. Send down a heavenly host. Bring revival to the land. Oh! Our God is righteous. His mighty righteous. Our God is righteous. Our God is righteous. His mighty righteous. Our God is righteous.
Oh, that's right. Sing it with me.
Our God is righteous. His mighty righteous. Our God is righteous. Our God is righteous. His mighty righteous. Our God is righteous.
You can't sing it, say it.
Send down your righteous judgments. Through your mighty right hand, break them back of the enemy's encampments. Release your power in the land. Oh, our God is power.
Let's march. God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for putting our feet on the solid rock, Jesus. We do proclaim. Say, I proclaim. I proclaim. I proclaim revival in the land. I proclaim revival in my family, in my church. Lord, I won't give up. I won't give up till it's over. I won't give up, Lord. I won't look back, Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, God, we just take a stand right now. We stand against the powers of darkness. Amen. We proclaim the name of Jesus. If the name of Jesus be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto him. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim the blood. I proclaim the blood over my mind. I proclaim the blood over my home. I proclaim the blood of Jesus over this building, these property lines, in the name of Jesus. I proclaim the blood of Jesus over every weapon, every plan that's been formed against these saints of God, and the ones that are not here, and the ones that are being beat up on. I proclaim the blood. We curse. I curse. Say it. I curse the spirit of Jezebel. I curse that spirit that comes to make men weak. Lord, let the spirit of Elijah rise in me as a man of God. Oh, I'm not taking you women out of the race, not at all. We need godly men. God, I thank you, the men of God arise. We call forth for the men of God to arise. We call for the married couples of God to arise. One will put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000, God. God, if we're not equally yoked, that's easy. We just both get saved and right with God, Lord. Save our spouses, God. I'm talking about the ones that are here, not here, but save these families, God. Save these families, God. You said you'd start in the house of God first. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Well, thank you for sparing judgment on us and allowing us to come to the cross, Lord, and be washed. So, Lord, we take on your blood right now. We take on your life right now, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, forgive me when I've went my own way. Forgive me, Jesus, when I've given you the scraps of my time and my life. I've made other things more important than your kingdom. Lord, I don't know how I could find the time, but you'll give it to me if I ask, Lord. So, Lord, show me the things that are important to you. And above all, Jesus, draw me to the secret place of the Most High. Listen, what it says, where no foe can dwell, where no enemy can dwell. He can, if you get in the presence of God, if you get in the secret place of the Most High, the enemy cannot hang out there. He's not allowed. That's a door he cannot come into. So, Lord, bless these saints of God. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. Bless them with wisdom. Bless them with provision. Bless them with a love for all people, God. Bless them with forgiveness in their hearts, like Donna was talking about, that supernatural grace to forgive. Not only to forgive, but to embrace. Forgive me when I have forgiven, but I've kept them at a distance, God. No, Lord. Help me to love like you love, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we praise you. God, let it be an awesome week. Let it be victory after victory. Bring people into our path that need healing, people that need Jesus. And God, just give us boldness. Not rudeness, boldness, God. We love you and we praise you. And I bless every young person. I bless all those that have doors open before them that would lead them the wrong way, God, that you would give them discernment above their years. And when they see these doors, they will know instinctively, they'll know, no, that leads to death, that leads to bondage, God. And Lord, give us as parents the wisdom and discernment to know when and what and how. You are so good, Lord. We love you, Jesus.